We'd like to call the meeting to order. We have the presentation of colors. Please be seated. So that was our junior ROTC, newly instated from Lyndhurst High School. I guess they're not here, but I'd love to give them a round of applause. There was no action taken in closed session. Student representative to the Board of Trustees, Kathy Vang, Lyndhurst High School student representative. Kathy?
Hey everybody. So Lyndhurst High School's, our leadership class is keen on helping the community, and our current goal is to make a warm drive successful. We are collecting all sorts of clothes from old to new and of all ages. This will be continuing until the end of March, so make a difference and donate. As for Friday, March 16th, it was supposed to be our third food day of the year, but fortunately we have to cancel it because of the possibility of rain. So following our supposed food day on the 17th is the Training Zone Bokai 5K run, in which 30 of our students are participating in. We wish them the best of luck. We also have a community event coming on Thursday, March 29th, and that will be a Powder Puff Carnival. We will welcome the community to join us and enjoy this carnival that is being hosted by the LHS leadership. There will be many fun games and good food around in which our clubs will be in charge of. Our Happily Ever After prom will be occurring on April 28th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. in Ting's Refuge. Tickets are now on sale in the student store. The robotics Blazers took home the Excellence in the Design Award at the San Joaquin Delta League. The team has qualified for the California State Championship and the Create US Open held in Council Bluffs, Iowa. As for our academic decathlon team, they received second place in the super quiz and were second place overall. Congrats to the whole team for their achievements because of the countless hours of hard work. As for Marysville High School, on Friday they'll be having a talent show in which will be occurring at 7 p.m. at the MHS South Auditorium. So to get in, you have to pay $5. The first place prize will be $30, second place will be $25, and third place will be $20. So MHS will really love for you guys all to attend, as they want to showcase their talents that this district have. So rain or shine, please do attend if you have time for it. So thank you. And that'll be all.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Next, we have a presentation, Categorical Programs. Jamie Larson.
Okay, the last time I was here, we did a Dr. Seuss book, and it went over fairly well. So we did Oh, the Places You'll Go last time, and tonight we're going to take a look at The Cat in the Hat. But when we were putting the presentation together, we thought, wait a second, we can do one better than that, and we thought we'd do Cookies and Milk to go with our story this evening. I'll let you make your choices because it's very important, and then we'll get started. He did, and obviously the treats tonight are courtesy of the culinary class out at Lyndhurst High School, so we're also featuring Lyndhurst High School this afternoon. They did a great job, didn't they? Okay. So this is A Cat in the Hat by Categorical Programs with tons of help from Dr. Seuss. The sun did not shine, it was too wet to play, so we sat in the boardroom all that cold, cold, wet day. I sat there with Sally, we sat there we two, and I said, how I wish we had something to do. A funding application to draft, a CDE audit to prepare for, something, just something, to ensure this board report isn't a bore. We wondered if all we would do is just sit, 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 and we did not like it, not one little bit. And then something went bump, how that bump made us jump. We looked, then we saw him step in on the mat. We looked and we saw him, the cat in the hat. And he said to us, why do you sit there like that? I know it is wet and the sun is not sunny, but we have work to do, so much work that it is not funny. I know some good categorical program strategies we could implore, said the cat. I know some good tricks, said the cat in the hat. A lot of good tricks. I'll show them to you. Your superintendent will not mind if I do. Then Sally and I did not know what to say. Our superintendent was out of the district for the day. But our fish said, no, no, make that cat go away. Tell the cat in the hat you do not want to play. He should not be here. He should not be about. He should not be here when our superintendent is out. Now, have no fear. Have no fear, said the cat. My tricks will help your students, said the cat in the hat. We'll have fun exploring the services categorical programs provide. Come on, let's dive in and look at the department from the inside. Have no fear, said the cat. I will not let you fall. Title I and targeted funding will help us juggle it all. And to supplement funds, we write grants galore for career technical education and homeless students to do more. It takes a great group to manage it all, so let's raise our milk cartons and offer a toast to the team of dedicated employees who gives it their most. Elizabeth Preston keeps us all in line, and Cindy Helms balances the budget to the dime. Amanda Book advocates for homeless children all the time. And we're a customer service-based team with students on top of our mind. It is truly my distinct pleasure to work beside caring professionals of this kind. Look at us now. It's fun to do our job, and we aim to wow. Career technical education prepares students for college and career, creating classes that make students want to come to school and oftentimes cheer. Ag-based learning really grows on you. Furniture and cabinet construction is quite cool too. Photography, 3D animation, and graphic communications galore. And don't forget radio, TV broadcasting, which will not bore. Look at us now. More CTE classes to deepen students' know-how. Sports medicine, medical terminology, and medical careers makes learning relevant and interesting each year. Welding, small business, and automotive, for some early childhood careers, is the motive. But we can't forget the culinary arts, which is close to our stomach and to our hearts. Thank you, chef, and to your students, too. The treats are yummy, and for this, we are yours true. The CTE incentive grant, Perkins, and the STREAM grant as well has made CTE facilities and programs really swell. This year we applied for 3 more. Fingers crossed our CTE programs will continue to soar. It can be overwhelming and trying at times, but don't worry, there's more to this rhyme. This year our homeless numbers are really high, which can easily make you want to cry. As of today, we've served 306 students with transportation, backpacks, school supplies, and resources to help them not be truant. We submitted a competitive homeless children and youth grant to CDE. Hopefully, the 3-year grant will be received with glee. Our department is busy with lots to do. Some of the things I'm not sure if you knew. We assist with site plans, site councils, budgets, and parent engagement galore, and funding for academic interventions to help low-achieving students soar. The Buzz newsletter is designed here, just to note, to share district news and honor employees about whom we gloat. Community relations support what we do. The investment enhances our programs and student outreach, too. The work we do can be messy at times, but Cindy and Elizabeth are always ready with budget lifelines. More than $14 million will be tracked and reported through our department this year. Keeping up with each program requirements could be something to fear, but together we do it and keep everything clear. Title I is a biggie with lots of restrictions at the district and site. Targeted CTE, ROTC, and homeless add to the delight. And messes, we might have them along the way, but categorical programs is here to keep them at bay. When the superintendent returns and says to us too, did you learn anything? Tell me, what did you do? We hope you quickly know what to say about all of the things that go on in categorical programs each day. So, I also prepared just a quick little highlight and fact sheet because a lot of these things were embedded in the rhyme, but one of the things I do want to mention is the budget is really budgeted to the penny, not to the dime, but it didn't rhyme, so. And then I also wanted to highlight, we just talked real briefly about the community partnerships and how important they are to the job that we do, primarily for our homeless program. A large portion of what we're able to do for our students comes from the great support that we receive from the community. I know last month, I believe, we had an item on our donation list for Maggie Capitano from Farmers Insurance. She called this year, and we're partnering on a program called Random Acts of Kindness. So each Friday, we deliver bags to different homeless students, and we've circled through. So many of them have received multiple bags throughout the year. But inside of it, it contains some healthy snacks for Friday afternoon, because we all know that for many of our kids, when they're at school is the only time that they're guaranteed to have two meals a day. So that's been just a real blessing for us this school year. And Elizabeth just tallied up this afternoon, and we've delivered over 1,000 bags, 1,036 bags during this year. And Maggie did make the commitment to continue with that program for this whole entire school year. So that's been really wonderful. Yeah. Yay. Kiwanis partners with us with the Kiwanis Clothes Closet. They like it to be called, and everything starts with a K, so those aren't really typos, but that's the Kiwanis way. So they provide about $6,000 to us every year to help us with the clothes, and socks, underwear are a big thing. And then many of you, Jim, I know, is intimately familiar with our Breakfast with Santa, as you've been there with us for the last few years. But that's an opportunity for our community to come together and provide a really neat homeless breakfast. We also adopt all of the kids out. We had 128 kids this year that were adopted. Some kids, as you can see, left with bikes. They get to sit on Santa's lap and go home with a photo that day with them and Santa. For our homeless kids, that's just something that they don't normally get, and it really makes a huge impression. So that's another thing that we do every year. And a few years ago, we struck up a really neat partnership with a nonprofit organization called Warmasol, and they provide shoes for our homeless kids during the holidays each year. So that's another big donation that we have. And we have lots of other smaller donations that come in through the department, but I just wanted to call your attention to those really big partners that we have. And I'm happy to address any of the things that we have outlined here through career technical education, again, homeless, or any of the budgets that we manage in our department. The other thing, it seems like we have just been in grant cycle this year and written a ton of grants. So we have a CTE facilities grant that we submitted to CDE, and we actually scored high enough to make it on to the next round, which is exciting. We're now, our application is sitting at the Office of School Public Construction. It's close. Travis took care of that part of it. It's been really wonderful to have some really neat partnerships inside of the district as well, and certainly with maintenance, and Travis has been a great friend to CTE, and our homeless program and our homeless kids would not get to school if it wasn't for the exceptional work that our transportation department does. So we feel very fortunate to be working in a district that cares so much about kids.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Is there any questions or discussion? Or again, thank you for all that you do. And Mr. Levitt, thank you for the snacks.
Thank you.
You're taking the snacks away?
You know where I parked, didn't you?
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
No, so good.
Okay, let's moving on. Comments from the board members. Ms. Scott?
I would just like to thank Jamie and the staff for all of what you have done today to bring that forward to us. I really did like that snack, and I really did enjoy the story as well. And it's always so nice to see everybody when you all are here, because just to know the hard work and the dedication that you have. I know that you could be home watching some game show, but thank you very much for coming out and being here with us tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Davis.
I always have challenges with this microphone. I had a great visit with Jill Segner at Cedar Lane, and we went over the needs of her campus and just some of her concerns for keeping her campus safe and providing a good educational facility. It was very refreshing. That's all.
Thank you. Mr. Allison. Mr. Boom. Mr. Fleury.
I would just like to thank Jamie for all that she does, and her staff. Working with the homeless is a big thing. I am a mentor to one kid that had been homeless since freshman year, living in the river bottoms, living around everywhere, and he said Jamie and her staff made a difference. And it's, if you've ever been homeless, I have, it's really a scary thing. And it's people like Jamie and the staff in this district. We really are a district that really cares about people. Enough thanks cannot go out to the people that work in this district that do their job, but they deeply care about people.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford.
I had the pleasure of attending Saturday numerous games at the two fields at Marysville High School. What makes it amazing is the whole neighborhood, the parents' pride. They're all wondering, are they going to get this thing done in time for the start of baseball? I said, you just got to have faith. And I had the faith. I wasn't quite sure, but that is an incredible job you guys did as far as putting up the new scoreboard. That scoreboard is the lighting is better than the football quarter by quarter. Inning by inning, Scott, is better than that. It's and the field is, I'd say on par with, the varsity field is on par with Oakland Coliseum. It really is. They played all day in the cloudy weather. There's always one person, some parent said, why do you have a California flag on one pole and the American flag on the other? And you know the California flag is about 2 inches higher? I didn't know that. I know that now. We'll put that to rest, but great job. You did get it done. That is just a great, great place to have tournaments and a real asset to the community. So thank you, groundspeople, everybody. Thank you. That's it.
So I also had the opportunity to attend the dedication of the new scoreboard, and I would like to just thank all the community members that were involved and the money in raising there, and again our staff for being able to get that put together. It took a lot of effort, but we did get it done. So thank you. The other thing I would just like to point out was in our packet, when we finish here, there is a cyberbullying event across the street. So maybe if we get done in time, we could attend that to see what's going on there. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. We have no public comment cards. Superintendent report.
I have just one item this evening. I wanted to remind the board that we are in the final weeks and days, probably more days, getting ready for the murder at the Rusty Spittoon Saloon, which is the Education Foundation fundraiser. It will be on March 24th, which is a Saturday at 6 p.m. Tickets are $30 per person for a fabulous dinner prepared by the Lyndhurst Culinary Academy. You had a little sample of the delectable treats here. You'll have a great barbecue dinner there. So if you're interested, you'll need to let me know so I can get you a ticket. We are limiting our group to 300, so we are right at about 30 tickets left. So we're doing really, really well on ticket sales. So please let me know. I'd hate for you to have to be turned away at the door. And I would do that. No, I wouldn't do that. We'd find a spot for you somewhere. Well, not really, but it sounded good. So with that, I would like to welcome our three new reps to cabinet and to the board for the next couple months. Jamie Larson needs no further introduction. You've seen her here for just a couple years, and you just heard a presentation about her department. And John and Rich, treats are really good with your reports that will be coming up. Rich Sullivan is the principal at Olivehurst Elementary School, and John Kovach is the principal at Johnson Park, and they are our two newest administrators in the district. So thank you all for being here, and I look forward to their input and participation in board meetings and cabinet. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Todd. Next, we have the approval of minutes for the regular board meeting of February 27, 2018. We'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Scott. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's seven yes. We have the consent agenda. Is there any items that would like to be pulled from the consent agenda? No items to be pulled, then we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion by Mr. Crawford to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Davis. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Seven yes. Moving on to new business. Business services number one, 2017-18, second interim financial report. Mr. Hodson.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the board. Jamie, I'm not real happy with you right now. I'm trying real quick to make up some rhymes. I don't have any cookies. I'm you know, like, comedians are warned never to follow a better act. I was not set up very well for this. I'm sorry about that. So today would be the second interim report. You've seen this slide before, kind of a reminder of where we are. We'll come back to you a couple times throughout the year. This being the second adjustment, if you will, to our annual budget and reporting of where we are. I think it's worthwhile talking about this for a minute. I may have talked to you a little bit at the first interim. That the way I look at this, when you do the first budget, you're taking an awful lot of guesses. You don't know how many students you're going to have. You don't know how many teachers are going to have retired. You've taken a bunch of data that you got during the May revise, and you're trying to cram that together. And so you come back, you do a 45-day revise, but even that's still on not a whole bunch of hard data. And so your first interim is a chance to make some real bold corrections. And I look at the second interim as an opportunity to see how did you do, how good were you, and how good are your internal controls. And I say that because I'm very happy with the work of all of our folks. You can see we don't have a lot of changes in our second interim. You would see a whole bunch of variances if you did, and you don't see a lot. What you will see is the revenue is up. It's because we have higher ADA than we had anticipated. That's a nice problem to have. You'll see labor is a little bit different, but by 1%, it's really, on the big scheme of things, pretty darn good guess. The one you'll see where books has gone down, that's because of how we budget. We put all the money that's going to the school sites into that books and supplies, and then as they spend it elsewhere, it gets moved out. And so you see the net is pretty small. It's $813,000 to the good, and so that's reduced our deficit from the $1.8 million down to just about $1 million deficit for this year. And again, that is not a structural deficit. That is one with deliberate decisions we made for things that didn't get finished at the end of last year. Here's the revenue update, and if you notice at the top, and this is covered in some more detail in your executive summary of the second interim report, the governor has, as predicted, accelerated the implementation of LCFF, and so you see in 18-19 we go to 100%. It will be fully funded. That's a good news, and I'll show you that here in a minute. But good news going forward. The challenge will be that this is now fully implemented, and we don't expect any further increases. So these years were year over year over year. We feel like we keep getting more money. That will plateau by current projections. Expenditures, you've seen this before. The reminder is that we are spending most of our money on personnel. That is what we do. There was a question that came up earlier about how much we spend on maintenance. This is sort of the nature of what we do. So you'd have, for example, classified salaries that will go towards maintenance. We did report that separately in the executive summary, but that number is $3.7 million goes to routine restricted maintenance. 3% is the requirement starting next year. They relieved us of that in the past, and we've been expending more than the 3% required. Okay, so the multi-year projections, if you look across there, you'll see that revenue increases in 18-19, and then it's flat in 19-20, and if you go out to years beyond that, you're just going to a COLA, which would be a couple of percent per year. You'll see that in 18-19, there's a spike, and that is because the governor has proposed doing about $2.9 million of one-time money, and we went ahead and recorded that in here, so you'll see the projected increase to the bottom line. It goes up in 18-19 and then sort of flattens out to about $4 million there in 19-20. And then a reminder, this is a projection, it is not a prediction. We just take the current data as best we know it and extrapolate it forward. Obviously, there'll be a whole bunch of decisions between now and the time we get to those years. And one thing I can tell you is this will not be how it ends up looking at the time. But if you were to take those, the ending balances going forward, you see you have a little bit of deficit this year, and pending any other decisions, we'd go up to 31 or 34 million in the next 2 years. Again, all else being equal. Looking forward, just a reminder, this 1 year deficit, it's not structural. It's a really good thing. And I pulled out a quote from Ron Bennett. And as I look at districts up and down the state, frequently in that third year, districts are in deficit spending, and we are not, which is a really nice problem to have. But you can see, as I told you before, most of what we do is in salaries. And if we were to just take, I just took a round number, took 2% per year each year, by that third year out, we'd be spending $4.5 million more a year. And that would be $9 million off of that balance I showed you a minute ago when you looked there. That'd be $9 million off the 34, just at 2%. The other thing it doesn't do is it doesn't account for the potential of funding cuts. This slide, you can see on the red line, that is the revenue that the state gets from personal income tax. And you know, with the new GOP tax cuts and the like, and those are no longer a write-off under the SALT reductions. And so does that change behavior, or does the economy soften up a little bit? Any of those things would predictably reduce our revenue. Long-term challenges, as you know, we have a bunch of facilities needs, both in terms of capacity. Most of our schools are either at or near capacity. We have a bunch of maintenance requirements, leaky roofs, HVACs, and the like. We've talked before about the COP payments that are coming due. It's about $32 million if we paid them off when they first come up, which would represent 135 of our total reserve, or if you want to put it in terms of just what's spendable, take away the REU and the non-spendable amount, it's 162% of our available reserve right now. And I'll show you a slide in a second, but we know that PERS and STRS will continue to go up even as revenues go flat. So that could present a problem, but there's also potentially AB 208, 2808, and I put the quotes in there. That's the current draft legislation. You can see what that would do if they were ever to implement that. It's a lot of money, again, should the state do that. So it's pretty tough to predict going forward. Could be, you know, they say feast or famine. That's what we're looking at there. Here's just a graphic representation of the cost of PERS and STRS. If you just add up from starting next year and going forward, and these are these are basically written in law, so we know this to be a very predictable outcome. That's another $4.7 million per year, every year, by the time we get out to 21, 22. And so there is some pressure on our long-term budget, even as the current budget is pretty solid. And so with that, any questions?
Is there any discussion or questions? So, actually, I did have maybe a couple or one comment and a question, Mike. So, it was clear back to our pie chart and the LCFF gap funding percentage. So, currently this year, the estimate is at 44.97. And then next year, they're estimated to go to 100%. So that's 55, roughly, percent increase in 1 year. That sounds like that's a big jump.
It does, and it's really, really misleading. That's the gap. And so because when they transitioned to LCFF, everybody was at a different place. Some districts had a lot of money, some had little, but we're all going to that same number where every district got the same base, and then you had your supplemental concentration. And so what they did is they'd say, okay, we know the gap is this much, we're going to close this percentage of it. So it's not a 55% or a 44% increase in your revenue, it's we're gonna close 44% of whatever your respective gap is. For some, that was a lot of money. For some districts, it was almost none. Next year, they will close it. We'll be completely fully funded at the LCFF targets, and then that will be the same going forward. That's a great question.
Thank you. And then, Mike, on the chart that had the multi-year projection for the end fund balance, is that unrestricted funds or is that total funds? The one, the green, with the green pot, or that one there?
Just the unrestricted.
Yeah, that's unrestricted?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you for all that you do. With that, we'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the second interim financial report.
We have a motion by Mr. Davis to accept the second interim financial report. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Seven yes. Meeting adjourned. Oh, excuse me. We do have meeting's not adjourned. Everybody's wanting to run to the goodies at the stand over there. We have Mr. Fleury has a closing for the meeting tonight.
Today
Mr. Fleury?
Yes. Today was the funeral of a very prestigious person who was the first female to serve on the Marysville Unified Board. She was also the executive secretary of the old superintendent, Walter Swanson, at Olifirst, and she and her husband were very instrumental in getting Lyndhurst High School built. And so we're gonna close the meeting. Oh, her granddaughter also is Angela Stiegel at Marysville High School. So it was a loss. She was very instrumental in Olifirst politics.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fleury. We'll try it again. Meeting adjourned.